Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So with a not guilty plea from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, suddenly the self-proclaimed 9/11 mastermind will be in front of a New York jury trying to put the USA on trial. Should we be worried about open court becoming the center ring of a circus?
No trouble. Trouble's part of a circus. They said Barnum was in trouble when he lost Tom Thumb. They said he was through when Jumbo died.
Does the U.S. judiciary need to worry about ranting Al-Qaeda defendants? If the political circus comes to town in Lower Manhattan, who will put on the greatest show? Fearing or embracing the circus? Justice in the center ring on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. Tuesday, November 24th. I'm John Hockenberry here with Miles O'Brien filling in for Celeste Headlee. Good morning, Miles.
Good morning, John. Great to be here. Coming up this hour, the president getting closer to a decision on Afghanistan. That's a big one, and we get the latest. And does being in politics mean hanging out with the paparazzi instead of the politicos these days? We'll talk about the celebrity strategy of Sarah Palin and Mike Huckabee. We've got to throw Lou Dobbs in there, too.
It's a
right?
strategy? It's a strategy?
I think it might be. And how much is too much when it comes to talking in the workplace? TMI in the office.
But first, Ron Kuby joins us. He's a criminal defense attorney, civil rights lawyer. In your experience, Ron, and talking about sort of that circus reference there at the top of the hour, do defendants like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed get some sort of political upper hand under the rules in open federal criminal court?
They certainly do, especially in a place like New York City, which is the media capital of the world. The federal courtroom provides a fantastic forum for anybody who wishes to speak out to put forth their political agenda.
So this could be very different than the Massawi trial in Virginia.
Very much so. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed seems to be a lot more tightly wrapped than Mr. Massawi was, and he seems to actually have a coherent strategy.
And a lot more, perhaps, to say. Stay with us, Ron Kuby. We'll be back with you in just a moment. But first, everything else you need to know this morning. Federal prosecutors have charged 8 more men with recruiting U.S. immigrants to fight in Somalia. The men reportedly lured about 20 young men, mostly from the large Somali community in Minneapolis, to become fighters and suicide bombers for an Al-Qaeda-affiliated group known as Al-Shabaab. Ralph Bolter is the FBI special agent in charge.
As these documents reflect, the subjects charged have collectively provided financial support to those who have traveled to fight on behalf of Al-Shabaab.
Federal authorities have now charged 14 people in the case in total. We'll have more on this story in just a moment. President Obama is said to be days away from announcing a new strategy for the war in Afghanistan. The president held a final, so-called, strategy session with his national security team last night, where troop increases ranging from 10 to 40,000 soldiers were reportedly discussed. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs explains what's on the president's mind.
There are a lot of different layers to our involvement in Afghanistan, how it relates to the region. What its impact is on our forces, what its impact is on our fiscal situation.
Gibbs says the decision could come as early as next week. It's the largest crib recall in U.S. history. More than 2 million drop-side cribs by Stork Craft Manufacturing are being recalled because of a potential suffocation hazard due to babies becoming trapped. Scott Wolfson with the Consumer Product Safety Commission says parents should stop using the cribs immediately.
4 babies have died in these cribs. It is urgent that parents hear about this crib and react to it right away.
Wolfson says if you have a Stork Craft crib, you should call the manufacturer right away. First-time homebuyers deserve a pat on the back for yesterday's Wall Street rally. Home sales are nearly 37% higher last month than their bottom in January. Analysts say buyers took advantage of that federal tax credit, low mortgage rates, and falling prices. The Dow climbed 133 points to 10,451, a 13-month high. The S&P is up 15 to 1,106, and the NASDAQ opens at 2,176. Miles O'Brien is with us this morning. Miles, of course, a veteran CNN commentator, reporter, journalist, all over the place you've been.
Yeah.
Space aficionado.
And veteran of these wonderful hours.
Indeed, yes.
Great
indeed.
To be here.
Welcome to the dark side.
Yes, I'm
well,
back.
Has your family ever dealt with long-term care?
Yes, with my grandmother we did, and we worked very hard to keep her in her home, which was not easy.
It's a question for all of you. Long-term care is part of the health care reform debate. What's the issue in your family? 877-8-MY-TAKE.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. Kind of a big idea we're going to tackle here at the outset. From two very different angles this morning, we're going to examine whether terrorist groups have something of an advantage here in a nation of democratic institutions. It's an old debate, and I think, Miles, it's fair to say that we've been considering whether American constitutional freedoms are an opening for groups like al-Qaeda since 9/11 and even before.
Yeah, are we willing to take those lumps to prove we have a system that is something that should be a model for the world?
Well, it's going to be tested. Do American constitutional rights increase the reach of groups like al-Qaeda in, say, recruiting and in delivering terrorist messages? Two intriguing and very different stories pose the same question this morning. Self-proclaimed 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, intends to plead not guilty at his terrorism trial, and that may provide him a podium to espouse al-Qaeda's views from a New York courtroom. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, federal officials, as we mentioned in the newscast, yesterday unsealed terror-related charges against eight men who were accused of recruiting Somali Americans from Minnesota to join an Islamic extremist group back in Somalia called Al-Shabaab. Officials say it's the largest arrest of American citizens alleged to be connected with an al-Qaeda affiliate. Abdi Ainte is an editor with Voice of America in Washington, D.C., has long experience covering the Somali community in Minneapolis and in Minnesota. Abdi Ainte, good morning.
Good morning to you, John.
First of all, how disruptive, how upset is the Somali community likely to be about the revelation of these indictments, these arrests, and how long has this been going on?
Well, I don't think the community will be disruptive in that sense. I think this case has been going on, or the investigation has been going on for at least a year or so in Minneapolis, and the community has been aware of it. In fact, the community has been impacted largely by the investigation for a year or so. It has been going on since at least December of 2007, when young men of Somali descent, mostly American citizens who actually grew up in the Twin Cities,
right,
have begun to go back to Somalia to join this group, Al-Shabaab, that is now the main rebel group in Somalia against the internationally supported transitional federal government.
And what did we specifically learn yesterday, and principally how easy was it for the al-Shabaab recruiters, allegedly, to actually find adherents and sympathizers in the community in the Twin Cities?
Depends on how you look at it. If you think about the number of people that have so far been either recruited or accused of being part of this plot, the number is still very negligible. About 20 or so people are believed to have gone to Somalia or returned, and about a total of 14 people have been accused of either financing or recruiting or actually going to Somalia and joining this group. Yesterday's indictment was against eight people who are, some of them are not even in the United States. Some of them are actually in Somalia fighting alongside al-Shabaab already. So, you know, it has been, you can say that it has been somewhat easier for al-Shabaab to penetrate the Somali community in the Twin Cities and recruit about two dozen people. But on the other hand, when you look at the a very large number of the Somali community, estimated between 40 to 60,000,
sure,
the number is still negligible.
Abdi Ainte helped to report this story for the New York Times as a former reporter with experience looking into the Somali community there in Minnesota. Ram Kubi, criminal defense attorney and civil rights lawyer here in the studio. What is the sense in which cases like this raise the specter that entire communities are going to be targeted by investigators and that some sort of net will be thrown around communities like the Somali community in the Twin Cities? There are Afghan communities in Virginia. There are all sorts of communities all over the United States.
Whenever something like this happens, the local community is concerned that they'll be targeted. But this particular set of arrests and this particular indictment seems very narrowly drawn to basically go after the people who are responding to this Facebook jihad, as it were, as well as to go after the people who are specifically recruiting them to basically participate in a teenage Islamic youth scene, sort of Lord of the Flies with automatic weapons in Somalia.
Well, which is pretty terrifying, and it seems like easy pickings.
Well, it is frightening in Somalia, But remember, the political situation in Somalia is incredibly complex, and it doesn't necessarily translate to terrorism here.
Well, let's turn our attention to the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed revelation that we got over the weekend, that he's going to plead not guilty along with his defendants in the criminal court, and that raises the possibility that the KSM trial will be something of a circus, as we mentioned at the top. The only experience we have with this is the Zacharias Moussaoui trial. Here's Ed McMahon, an attorney in Washington, D.C., who is the court-appointed attorney for Zacharias Moussaoui. And this was his reaction to a comparison between what happened at that trial and what might happen in the KSM trial.
He testified and he said many awful things. He was boasted about the attacks of 9/11. He in many ways laughed at the loss that the people that had testified in the courtroom had suffered. I think, if I remember correctly, he testified why he thought the attacks were justified. And when he was done and the verdict was rendered, he's now spending the rest of his life in a prison.
Now, Edward McMahon seems to suggest that no matter how circus-like the trial gets, it's the verdict that is all that really counts here.
Well, the fascinating thing about this case is there's a tremendous unity of purpose between Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the government. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed isn't trying to beat the rap. The rap is probably unbeatable. He wants the government to execute him. And our government wants to execute him. Now, what could possibly go
wrong
with that?
By pleading not guilty?
Sure.
He still wants to be executed?
Sure, because it goes like this. He is in a position to represent himself. He won't be a regular defendant who is seen but not heard except when he testifies. If he chooses to represent himself, which he can, then he has tremendous access to every single part of the proceeding. And in every part of the proceeding, he'll be able to articulate in one way or another his views, whatever they happen to be at the time.
Evidence questions complicated the Zacharias Moussaoui case. They're likely to be more complicated in this case. If the prosecutors are not allowed to use torture evidence in the case, then they will have to maybe bring in classified sources and methods that gave them some indication that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was who he said he was.
No, I don't think that's the case. Look. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed indeed confessed after coercive techniques, torture. The government can't use and won't try to use those confessions. But he also made a perfectly fine, admissible confession in open court down at the military tribunal where he announced that he did it. I did it. I want to plead guilty. Kill me. That was basically his position. And that will be admissible against him.
So the circus is actually a help in terms of noting the strength of our constitutional protection. If the trial is a circus-like trial, it doesn't necessarily mean justice can't be done.
Not a bad thing at all, especially since these guys don't look nearly as scary once they're in a courtroom. Moussaoui was terrifying at the time, not so scary anymore.
And it's more than 8 years later. Ron Kuby, criminal defense attorney, civil rights lawyer with experience in terrorism cases here in the studio, and Abdi Ainte, editor with the Voice of America in Washington, D.C., who is lots of experience reporting on the Somali community in Minnesota. You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.